Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at 97.5 FM WFHR. Your host, James, with you. We're joined by Melissa.
Hello.
Seth.
Hello.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. Hope you're having a good one out there. We're going to have some fun this hour. We're going to kick things off with some entertainment news, getting some local news, and what could be new in your email box tomorrow. We will get into that. I got a great one that Melissa sent over from Gizmodo.com. You can go ahead and find the article yourself involving four-day work weeks and a new study that was done on them.
Love it.
And what is a profession that was once highly respected, but now not as much? We will dive into that.
And radio and now, no.
Yes, yeah.
Hat right makers.
At the top of the list, both of those right there. But we begin where I believe we have to, or at least I have to, with the passing of a legend. The king of hard rock, the king of heavy metal has passed. Ozzy Osbourne passed away over the weekend, yesterday, with his loved ones, all by him. He was 76 years old. There's no word on the cause of death, but the official statement, quote, "It is with more sadness than mere words can convey that we have to report that our beloved Ozzy Osbourne has passed away this morning." Quote, "He was with his family and surrounded by love. We ask everyone to respect our family and privacy at this time." Ozzy's biography is pretty well known by now. Got a start in Black Sabbath, got fired in 79, launched a massive solo career that went on to the up until about a week ago.
Right.
Was continuing.
Right.
Then in the early 2000s, he reinvented himself, made his family just as famous with the MTV reality show The Osbournes.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that loves reality TV, you can thank Ozzy. I don't believe that reality TV would be where it is today without the Osbournes.
That is a great point. I remember when they announced it, and I thought, there's no way that'll work.
Yep.
Joke's on me.
Yes, they showed you.
They did.
Along the way, he has had quite a few different situations throughout his lifetime and his career. A lot of controversies that pretty much anybody in human history has had. Mm-hmm. Not the instances he had, because nobody had the instances he had.
to be fair, right?
But as far as having being a very mixed bag.
Sure.
Of a human being. He sold over 100 million records, and he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice. Mm-hmm. He was inducted as a member of Sabbath and, of course, his solo career. Ozzy's health took a turn for the worse back in 03 following an ATV accident that he never really recovered from.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been battling Parkinson's disease,
yep.
Which he was diagnosed with over last fall.
Mm-hmm.
In a 2023 interview, he said his life had been, quote, 5 years of absolute hell, the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's rough.
Yet just 2.5 weeks ago, he was able to perform one last time at Back to the Beginning show in Birmingham, which we covered very much.
Mm-hmm.
They raised over $190 million for charity, and it all went to charities.
That's an amazing number. My gosh.
Ozzy is survived by his backbone in Sharon,
mm-hmm.
And of course his Kelly
children,
and his son. There are some others too out there, the other children that he might have as well. And then there was Amy, a daughter of Ozzy and Sharon, who opted not to be in the show, but she is also, of course, mm-hmm. obvious.
Yep.
Tony Iommi, one of the greatest guitar players of all time, original member of Black Sabbath, said, quote, "There won't ever be another like him." Geezer Butler, bassist for Black Sabbath.
Yep.
"So glad we got to do it one last time."
Yeah.
Bill Ward, forever in our hearts. I thought Robert Plant had something really beautiful that he said, and touched more on Ozzy's impact on rock and roll, mm-hmm. and as well as his not being in pain anymore.
Yes.
I know of Black Sabbath and of Ozzy because of my dad, and it was one of the first connections I had with my dad,
mm-hmm.
was talking about them. It was also one of the first impressions of me, I got a cool dad. Oh,
nice.
I get that for life. One of the things about having a cool dad means that it's more like you have an older brother,
mm.
and that can have some pluses and minuses, but it's something that brought us closer together,
mm-hmm.
and it it's something that up until last week when we were sharing, I was sharing footage with him of it,
sure.
and everything. It was the first band that he saw live and I got to see live. I spent a good portion of yesterday listening to my dad talk about the three times he saw Black Sabbath and everything. And
yeah.
at the they had to move him to the Rosemont because there was too many people. They couldn't fit it. the difference that band made,
mm-hmm.
There are genre changes all the time. There are bands. There are game changers all the time. I don't know that there were many bigger game changers when Black Sabbath hit the market at the time that they did, where all you had on the radio was, you know, hippie music and stuff. And I'm not trying to make light of that or anything, but a lot of
it was just complete different sound.
Yeah.
And when I say that as pop music, disco music, all the music had that influence on it. It was happier. And Black Sabbath were coming from an area, a very downtrodden part of England, where they were like, hey.
It's Birmingham, right?
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Not everything's sunshine and roses. Mm. We've got to represent another side of this. Ozzy was also a very, 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 very dedicated to his faith. Very dedicated to his faith. Very much to a point where he didn't make it about his life and his career, about his faith, about what he believed, about believing in God or any of these things. Was a very complicated human being, but also one of the most talented human beings to ever take a stage. All of this gets lost in the shuffle. I've seen the man live.
Right.
I've seen him twice, and I saw him way past his prime. And I have never seen an MC like that. I have never seen somebody that could connect with people like he did, that could seem so genuine and charming on stage without really doing much, that, you know, at the age that I saw him and everything.
Right. A showman.
There is nobody that can take that. There's a lot of questions about who's the king of rock and roll, and there's a lot of great debate about it. And one of the fun things about it is there's no perfect answer.
No.
And a few people are wrong when they say, you know, any of the names that they do. I will die on the hill of, there is only one king of heavy metal. There is only one king of hard rock. And it will always be Ozzy Osbourne. And any name you want to throw at me, I will laugh at you. And I will just mention one thing about Ozzy Osbourne. Just one thing, let alone the entire library that he has. As I said to my dad last night, he's playing with Randy now. And
yeah, I think
that's pretty cool.
Randy Rhodes, yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if you guys got anything to say. I know I took a lot of time there, and I apologize. I did not realize I was doing that.
I don't have much history with Ozzy because that was just not my music. Of course, I knew who he was, heard his songs on the radio and everything. So I appreciated him as a musician, of course. But the thing that gets me the most on this one is just I'm happy that, like Robert Plant said, he is no longer in pain.
Yeah.
He's at peace now. And to me, that's the best thing for him.
It's odd when, you know, I have no connections to him, obviously, personally or anything like that, but my family has been through a lot of loss in the past month, which has had my mom and dad doing a lot of inner thinking and a lot of working and thinking about death and thinking about losing people and of that. And so when you have somebody that's been a part of your life your whole life that has been a celebrity that's not necessarily in your house or anything, but it's interesting the questions, the conversations you have about mortality, about our time on this planet, and having those. And so much of that does not have to be negative or sad or anything like that.
Part of life.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And I think that there's something interesting where as much entertainment and as much as he gave, I appreciate that he one more time gave my father and I a great moment.
A moment
and
together.
A great time there together.
You know, as you share, you know, artists like this, that's you never know the impact it's going to have when they, you know, they pass away or something like that. You don't know what, you know, emotions it's going to bring out. But usually it's because there's some kind of there's some kind of connection there, like you're talking about, with your family. And that's why it makes it, maybe there's a little more meaning to it.
One of the most important things I think an artist and a creative can do is the kind of, as we look at it in sports, Seth, the coaching tree, the people that you help spin off, the people that got a career because of you or you helped build up or something like that. The king of pop, Michael Jackson, zero. There's nobody on that list. Michael never helped anybody get over or anything. And even when he tried, he still took the song over and everything. And it was all about him. And that's not a shot at Michael. That's what made Michael Michael. When I look at somebody like Ozzy Osbourne, it's an endless list of people that he helped give a break and give a shot to or anything like that. A lot of people in a lot of different genres, too. Like the bassist from Alice in Chains, Mike Inez, he was more of a blues guy and stuff. And Ozzy, you know, used him more of that way and everything.
Interesting.
It's a legacy that won't end.
No.
That's for sure.
For sure.
The 29th season of The Voice will premiere in February of 2026, and they're doing something new this time. They are their coaches Adam Levine, John Legend, Kelly Clarkson. And if you're wondering what's new about it, well, all three of them are previous winners. And this will be the first season where all three coaches have won the show before. I have no idea what I'm saying. I thought in order to win that show, you had to be you weren't a star. I thought that you got on the show because they didn't know
I don't understand that either. That's weird. Okay.
I don't know.
And I don't understand these shows.
Sorry. Yeah, I don't get it. That's not understand. My wheelhouse. Not what I do.
I like watching the clips from it. I wouldn't actually watch it live or try go out of my way. But when I come across them and there's some, I do enjoy catching clips of it. Yeah, not the judges' comments, just the performance.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And didn't we speak to someone who was on The Voice recently?
Yes, we did.
Mr. Kenny P.
That's right.
Yeah. He had a good run on that show. Yeah.
Kenny enjoyed his time on the show.
Yeah, he did. He said he really enjoyed it. Yeah.
You can catch that interview, everybody, at WFHR.com. Be sure to check that interview out. Kenny's awesome, by the way.
He's great interview. Yeah.
What podcast is it on?
Director's Playhouse, of course.
Hey.
Yeah.
Thank you, Melissa.
You forgot to mention the show.
Yeah, I did. You mention the show. I'm so bad.
Oops. So I'm here for you guys.
Thank you.
I am the worst promoter of James ever. I am so bad at this. So bad at it. I just got done. I only bring it up because my agent just tore me through the ringer about this and how bad I am at promoting and everything. I thought this would be a fun one for us to get into, and that was before the passing of Ozzy. I only find it even better now talking about Ozzy Osbourne's lifetime, and I didn't even mention his cameos as an actor. Whether it's singing with Miss Piggy, which is legend. It is legend.
Fantastic.
Or one of the greatest cameos ever, his cameo in Little Nicky showing up. He'd use this. It's so good. So good. So Ozzy acted a little bit too and everything, and obviously known as a singer mostly. But what about the reverse? Actors who tried music first.
Okay.
I think most people would be surprised to learn so many of the people that we love in a certain genre. I think a good example is George Carlin. George Carlin really, quoting Kevin Smith here, fell into being the greatest, if not one of the greatest comedians of all time. He wanted to be an actor. He studied that acting. He was a thespian. He just never got the chance. Yep. He did get to act here and there. But
yeah, you see him in movies, of course, here and there, yeah.
I don't know if Thomas the Tank or Train or whatever gave him a chance to do Shakespeare. I don't know if they really got a chance.
But he did a fine job. He read those stories well. I will give him credit for that.
It's very good at it. We've talked about this before. Johnny Depp, Keanu Reeves are trained musicians and really wanted to be musicians.
Yep. Are they in bands now?
Yeah, yep. still playing and stuff. And then there's the wonderful Maya Rudolph. Does anybody remember The Rentals? They were the side project of Weezer bassist Matt Sharp. They had a hit in the 90s with Friends of P.
I don't remember that. I'm going to have to listen to that one.
Maya was the singer for them. She went on tour with them for 6 months, and they promoted the second album, opening for acts like Blur and Alanis Morissette.
Wow. Not bad.
Maya is also the daughter of singer Minnie Riperton.
That would explain that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Minnie Riperton, fantastic singer. Yes, absolutely.
There's other good ones on this list, but I don't believe anybody will be more shocked than this one if you didn't already know it. Chevy Chase. Now you might be shocked at first, but then as soon as you realize it sits in, you're like, oh yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Chevy Chase. While attending Bard College in the late 60s, he played drums in a band called The Leather Canary. The Leather Canary.
That's a good band name.
He'd be a drummer.
With Donald Fagen and Walter Becker from Steely Dan.
Whoa!
It's the only reason I know this. Yeah.
That would be the reason he didn't make it either.
Yeah, yes.
They're like, sorry, you suck. You get out of here.
Yep. Unless you were literally a perfect musician, you were never going to survive.
With those Donald guys. Fagen. No.
Brie Larson. Now, this one may be a little more understandable.
A little more well-known, too, I think. Yeah.
She released her debut album, Finally Out of P.E., at the age of 16. Unfortunately, it only sold 4,000 copies, and it didn't do very good. But she has been able to spin her singing into a lot of roles. Yep. Probably most famously, Scott Pilgrim.
She did some singing in that, and a couple other movies, too, she's very good,
Miss Marvel.
That's right, the Marvels. She sang in that, too.
She's good. I'm a big, big, big fan of Brie Larson. And wonderful character actor Stephen Tobolowsky is probably best known for playing the insurance agent Ned Reinerson in Groundhog Day. You've seen him a million times in a million movies, bald, glasses.
Yep, he's a character actor,
but one of the greater actors you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Like, incredible. Because all that, everything I was saying earlier about Daniel Radcliffe and typecasting and all of that, here's a guy that's been in 100 movies, and you would recognize him as soon as you saw him, and yet he's been different in every one of those roles.
You never know his name, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is his name again?
Stephen Tobolowsky.
Okay.
Good. Groundhog Day, and you'll find his name will pop up pretty quick. In high school, he was in, quote, a terrible folk rock band called Cast of Thousands.
Again, good band name, but...
His quote.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And a great band name. Yeah,
that is a great band name.
When they were picked to record two songs for a compilation album, one of Steven's band members recruited a neighbor to add some guitar to it, Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, hello.
Wow.
And then he played, and they're like... we're not going to make it in the music business. Yeah. Sorry, we're not good enough.
I love the stories of people. Like it happens a lot in athletics and everything. But like you're the biggest athlete in your school or the most talented person in your school or whatever. And then you start being around other people. Like, oh,
they're really good too. Ooh, yeah. See,
I looked forward to that. I wanted that. I hear from some that just tells them right away. It's okay.
I'm not good enough. No.
Fish in the little pond.
Yeah, exactly.
The big pond. Yep. Yeah.
I think I'm going to be a vet. I think you're going to be a vet.
Any openings at pharmacy school here? Yeah. Let's check it out.
And then finally, although there is a lot more to this, you can check out more of actors with musical roots in that at BuzzFeed.com. They've got a great article about famous actors who had totally wild and unexpected music careers. Ricky Gervais. He was in a pop duo called Siona Dancing. They released two singles in 83. Both of them failed. There is a video for Bitter Heart that you have to watch. And if I was ever, like, I don't mind Ricky Gervais.
Right.
I don't always know what all the pomp and circumstance is with him sometimes, but at the same time, I also get it. I love his laugh. I admire a lot of his comedy, even when I don't laugh at it. I admire a lot of it. He's also an insult comic. He's one of those guys. He's going to insult a lot of people. I would be throwing this video in his face. Anytime he said anything to me, all I would say is Bitter Heart. Bitter Heart. Like right back at him. Bitter Heart. Has nothing to do with the conversation. Even if I had said it five times beforehand, yep. I would Bitter Heart.
Because you know, I mean, just seeing a couple clips here that you get on your computer,
it's James. It's so 80s.
It is so pretentious. Oh, my God. For a guy who makes fun of pretentious people, yes. It's like, no, dude, you can't get more pretentious than this video.
How has nobody brought this up to him? How
maybe he pays them. I don't know.
That's hilarious. This whole list, that is easily the funniest one.
That's my favorite.
That's great. Absolutely. And it's so 80s. God, you got to watch that one, everybody. You got to check that out. We will take a quick time out. When we come back, I want to talk about this article Melissa sent over, along with something Melissa is working on currently. I got all that coming up for you on The Morning Show at WFHR.
The heat is on. The heat is on now.
The heat is on.
I could have put that in there, but I didn't.
The heat is on. Oh, the heat is on.
I mean, it's in my head. Any other bumper, I couldn't play. I had to. I'm so sorry, everybody. I want to apologize to the masses out there.
Oh, man.
I couldn't help myself, and I couldn't get it out of my head, so I had to do it. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Thank you so much for putting up with me. Melissa
and Seth
are here.
Thank you for still being here.
Yes, thank you for sticking. Those of you diehard listeners out there, we appreciate sticking around.
I just heard a lot of eye rolling going on.
Oh, I'm not sure. Yeah, you can, when you can, it's a story of my life, man. We do want to send a shout out to our colleague Laura out there. Laura mentioned that the Maya Rudolph's Prince cover band Princess. I apologize, I had forgotten about that.
What?
One. Yeah.
Really?
It's so good.
Oh my god! I want to check that out now.
It's really good. It's really awesome.
Oh, there was one. Oh, that's awesome.
A little bit later, after our news and sports and entertainment break, we've got what profession was once highly respected that not so much anymore. We will get into that. But I wanted to touch on this article that Melissa sent over from Gizmo. Encourage you to check this one out. Everybody can go to gizmodo.com, and you'll be looking for new study bolsters public health case for a 4-day work week.
All right.
Workers at over 100 companies experience greater job satisfaction and slept better once they switch to a shorter work week and work schedule.
Telling you.
For many of us, Monday is the start of yet another dreary week. But new trial research out might highlight a healthier approach to performing our jobs. A permanent 4-day work week. Scientists at Boston College led the study published Monday in Nature Human Behavior. For 6 months, researchers tracked the outcomes of nearly 3,000 workers at 141 businesses after they switched to a 4-day work week with no pay reduction. Okay. They also compared them to similar workers at jobs that stuck to a typical schedule. Ultimately, they found that 4-day workers reported greater job satisfaction and experienced less burnout than they did before the switch.
Mm.
As well, when compared to people working a 5-day week, these improvements were especially apparent in people who reduced their work time by 8 or more hours.
Okay.
And there's so much more to this study. But,
I'm sure, yeah.
I'm not going to read it to you. I want you guys to find it out yourselves.
It's a big article.
Right.
And dive into it. Melissa, is there anything that you want to make sure that we touch on from this?
Well, I just think, again, it proves, look at the number of companies that they did this study with and the amount of individuals. And they found that, you know, people are happier. People are more productive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're proving it over and over and over. I don't know. I don't know if it's safe to place bets on if it'll happen or when it'll happen, but I think it should. I'm an advocate.
absolutely. I'm 100%. I would caution on viewing it in the next 3 years or so, because a lot of people are feeling about, you know, studies and science right now, not so great, right? Yeah.
Well, and also, think, you know, like the average people being, you know,
right,
worthwhile.
But a lot of companies already consider 32 hours a week full time.
Yeah,
that's true.
So that's out there already. So I mean, it's like the next logical step. We are seeing, you know, this is not the first study. We've already covered many on this show over the last 2 years or however long it's been. It seems like it makes total sense to do something like this. If you want people to work more, be more productive, you know, less burnout. These are all good things, right? For people specifically, a better, you know, work family balance, which is something we hear a lot about now, too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it sounds like the wave of the future, you know, when that future is, I don't know, but, you know, I think it will be happening.
We've been talking about it for how many years now?
Yeah,
we've been doing this show together going, we're getting close to four.
Four years now,
I would say the whole time, this has been one of the more consistent things. I know,
yeah.
It's a little nerve-wracking.
It's crazy, isn't it?
There are two main findings in this study. First, we find that, and this is a quote from the article, first, we find that the 4-day work week improves workers' well-being. This conclusion comes from comparing changes in four well-being indicators between trial companies and control companies. The control companies were those that initially expressed interest in participating but ultimately did not for various reasons.
Okay.
They found that employees in the trial companies experienced significant reductions in burnout, along with notable improvements in job satisfaction, mental health, and physical health.
Mm-hmm.
That last part there, I wanted to make sure to touch on, because I don't
physical
think we
health.
Think about the physical
yes.
part of this very much. Sitting at a desk all day or at a factory, you know,
doing the same thing over and over again,
line yep. all day yep. or something yep. like that. Going down to even our construction workers or our truck drivers out there, or any of those jobs.
Right.
The second major finding is about what explains these improvements. They examined various work experiences and health behaviors. They found that three factors played particular significant roles: workability, sleep problems, and fatigue. In other words, after moving to a 4-day work week, workers saw themselves as more capable, and they experienced fewer sleep problems and lower levels of fatigue, all of which contributed to improved well-being.
That makes sense. Oh, wow. Does that make sense?
What are we in the game for here? Is it to see who's got the most toys at the end, or to see who's got a good life?
Mm.
If are you how and who the people that are in control and in power and etc., where how what is their approach?
It's a great question.
It's a divide, and it's something that while I personally, as a studier of history, I believe that everything comes in flows,
mm-hmm.
and it is fluid. Life is fluid. Time is fluid. All of these things.
Right.
And I think if you look at time and you look at history, there is a pull and a push every time. Mm-hmm. We're going to go heavy in one direction, and we're going to go heavy in another direction. And I think that we're going to see these things.
Right.
We're a young country. We forget this all the time. We are a young country. And just with anything young, there are growing pains. And I think that we needed to get this country off the ground running. We need to get moving. So the idea of working our tails off and work made sense at a certain point. We had to get America up and running. We had to show the world what we were, what we are, and this we're here to stay. We've done that. We're not going nowhere. This is set. Now, I know that there is a lot of push. I know that there is a lot of fear out there, and I'm not making light of any of those things. I empathize and feel some of it myself. Mm-hmm. Again, as a studier of history, the realist in my brain, looking at facts, looking at true science and true history, I believe that things ebb and flow, and mm-hmm. this will too. And I think that with that, you're going to see an ebb and flow with the work ethic and the way that we work. Now, you don't have to change your work ethic just because your hours change. You don't have to be any less, of a hard worker or giving everything you have when you're on the clock, when you're working. What needs to be worked on is, you know, the whole idea of, hey, this football player wants to go out there and play, but he's too injured to play. So what does the coach do? Don't let him play. Mm-hmm. That's what we need to have happen
right,
here.
Right, exactly.
As Americans, we're raised to work our tails off. Into the ground we're raised to. We need more people yes. to be able to be like, hey, that's not a good life.
Yeah, that's not smart. That's that not a great way to do it.
You don't get to take it with you.
That's right.
And what is one of the oldest things you... How many people have heard somebody who is rich and got more money than they know what to do with, and they're happy?
Mm-hmm.
And they're happy. You look at them and you think, oh, there's a happy person. Mm-hmm. When have you ever seen any of these people really smiling or really happy? I mean, genuine, like a real smile. I'm not mm-hmm. talking about ones that they put on for the camera or anything like right. that. You never see it. They're always angry. They're always grumpy. They're always said, that's not living. That's not actual life. That's not what this is supposed to be all about. It makes sense to me that going to a 4-day work week.
Yeah.
And I would put my work ethic up against anybody's. Anybody. I challenge anybody on that one.
I would like to do... Here's something. How about a more radical change? All right? We do the 4-day work week, but we have to do... Because of the way it's structured, we need to restructure. Let's do away with the idea of the weekend. Okay? There's no weekend anymore. It's just days off. Okay? So you get your schedule set, each person has their 4 days, but you rotate it to a point where every day is covered, but you still have plenty of people working, but they're only doing, the 4 days, 32 hours or whatever it is, that kind of thing. We just get rid of the idea of weekends. We just have days. How about that? Anyone with me?
That's
anyone
pretty with me? Radical.
That is, yeah. I if I had my druthers, we would rework the entire calendar. But because this 31 day thing, it's ridiculous. We need a nice uniform way of doing it. And there's ways to do it. Mm-hmm. So yep. But that's just my radical
change, though. I mean, it's hard. It's hard for people to change.
It is true. It is true.
And that would be a pretty massive one.
It would be, but we can dream.
But we've done
we?
It in the past.
We have.
We have done it in the past, so it's not impossible.
That is correct.
There was a point that wearing a seatbelt seemed ridiculous, and nobody was going to do it. There was a point where recycling seemed ridiculous, and nobody was going to do it.
We now can it's second nature. Yeah.
There was a point where having children work in factories where they lost fingers was commonplace.
Was common. Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Got it.
Having a 4-day work week feels like to me a win-win in many ways, not only for the workers but future workers, getting more people into the workforce
and for businesses
absolutely. Which the
having
bottom
workers
line
that appreciate
all that.
Their jobs yeah, right. and like working
and are more productive.
Yeah.
But we want to hear from you on this one. 715-424-2600. Feel free to call and join the conversation. When we come back, we'll talk a little newsletter. We'll talk about these jobs that we don't respect as much as we used to, and some more fun stuff we got lined up for you on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. That beat, it brings me right back to the early 80s.
Oh, boy, does it.
Instantly. I'm running around in a pair of Adidas that didn't fit me.
Fond memories.
Probably in a Dukes of Hazzard shirt or something like that, or some like TV show or something.
That would be funny.
There was a time when one of the hottest jobs in tech was becoming a manager at Circuit City.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's going back.
Let that sit there for a second. Radio Shack. Radio Shack was a little more popular around here and everything. But
that was the 80s place was Radio Shack.
Those were high sought after jobs, in part because you kind of had a walk into the tech world.
You had to learn stuff.
A lot of those things. Well, people online are talking about professions that were once highly respected or highly sought after that now they don't have the nicest words. I'm just going to say aren't as respected or anything. But maybe they should be. Maybe we just need to take a look at them again.
Yeah, we should.
That's just my addition, but I think they might see where I'm going with this. In some cases, it's highly regarded still, like careers in education, but others, there's just been a decline. So here they are, and they're not in any particular order. Retail, primary for wage reasons. Now, this is where the respect should have always been there and should still be there. We just haven't done a great job of doing this.
Right.
Absolutely. You've got one of the more thankless jobs there is retail, and we need it. We need retail workers.
We do.
Essential,
yeah.
And go ahead and work, go through, do nothing, your whole day or your whole running errands and everything, go through nothing but self-checkouts and tell me we don't need retail people.
Right.
Have somebody help you with a problem. And that a computer can't do, and tell me we don't need retail people.
Look at the shelves. Are they stocked?
That worker that working at either the gas station or wherever work, you know, you might be thinking of and everything, that knows your order already, or that knows you and says hi or something like that. Tell me that person doesn't deserve better than minimum wage.
Absolutely.
Like, this is a, I think I'm going to have a very different take on this article.
we'll see.
Bank teller. That's an interesting one. Someone said it used to be a foot in the door to the finance industry. Mm-hmm. Now it's just essentially kind of one of those jobs that you don't see a lot of people doing. But apparently there's a lot of 20-year-olds that get started in that industry way.
I have to say, someone who was in that industry and started as a teller 10 years ago or so, whenever it was, 10, 15 years ago. Honestly, there was still chance for promotion there, I have to say. I mean, there were a couple opportunities I didn't take because I knew I was going to be moving or something like that. But I was offered, you know, hey, if you want to become a loan officer, you know, we'll mentor you and that kind of thing. And I started out as basically a teller. So I don't know how it is anymore. I haven't seen recently with, you know, so much more online banking and stuff. That really has changed a lot of it. Because the tellers, you know, don't have as much, you know, a contact with people as they used to. There's still some, obviously, but not nearly as much as it used to be.
And I think for people who are ambitious, you know, that take those jobs, that there is still a chance for,
absolutely,
like, especially you were saying, advancement.
Yeah. Especially if you let it be known that's what you're interested in. Yeah.
These next two are a little bit of a matter of the times, but taxi driver, wedding photographers, those are a little bit of where they're still really, I think when you meet people good in the industry, very respected.
Yeah, and very necessary.
For sure.
But we don't, with Uber and Lyft or with everybody having a, you know, a movie studio on their phone now, you have a lot of people being able to do their own wedding photography and stuff.
I think we're seeing a theme here. Right now, and even going back to retail, because there's so much shopping online now, that these are all jobs that, because we're doing stuff because of technology, we're doing them a little differently now, and maybe that's why we're listing them on this list, right?
Astrologer. Now, royals used to consult with astrologers that written in the star, a lot of those things. That used to be a very respected job. Like, we're talking way back, but...
Yeah, in the 1980s, when our president did that, but, you know...
Yes, that's right. These next two, journalists and politicians. Now, this is something that has been done somewhat self-made.
Self-inflicted.
Self-inflicted. Thank you, Mo. Self-inflicted by them, but it's also something that we've been a part of. Looking at politicians, there needs to be accountability. We need to be able to hold them to a higher regard than we do most people. That's what you get for being in the job. You don't like it, you don't have to do it. Nobody's ever been forced to be a politician.
That's right.
There are plenty of other ways to make a living. But if you want to do that job, you have to understand understand that going into it.
Certain things come with it, right.
While at the same time, we have to remember and realize that when we're sitting there watching the evening news and we're yelling and yelling and yelling at every single politician and talking trash about every single politician, there are young kids listening to that. There are young, other people around hearing that. And what's the likelihood they're going to grow up and want to do that job? Mm. And I'm talking about our generation. Let alone this has been happening for generation after generation. Yeah. So is it any surprise nowadays the average person that goes into politics is what it is?
Right. I mean, you're absolutely right in this in that this is something that is a if it's a job that's not respected, well then people who you know you don't respect go into the job, right?
Right.
It's one of those
you get what you put in.
Yeah, right.
You get exactly. what you put in. This is everything in life. Everything is you get what you put in. And we have made this ourselves as a society.
Right. If you're gonna vote in the loser politician, well you're gonna get loser politicians, you know? Basically, that's what's going to happen.
There needs to be a balance there of being able to hold these politicians accountable while also treating them like human beings. Now, I will say that that does go out the window when they start treating us not like human beings.
Of course.
There is a push and a pull, but that's one human to another. I don't care about your title. That doesn't change you from being any different than me.
That's right.
You're no different than me. You are just as American or just as human as I am. It's a nice title. I respect the title, not always the person. But it doesn't give you more. You're not a king. You don't get to get away with stuff that others don't. And you don't. Accountability goes both ways. If I want them to be accountable, I have to be accountable as well. Mm-hmm. And I will only speak for myself that I'm as guilty of this as others in many ways. And I've worked very hard to change that. Mm-hmm. And working in for an airline. Used to be a very classy, admirable job, and that's kind of not looked
this
at.
This is trickle
much.
Down from the way the airlines are treating people, and unfortunately, the frontline people are the ones that are getting the bulk of the anger,
negativity,
and the negativity. Mm-hmm. Exactly,
yeah. And they shouldn't be the ones getting it.
You are absolutely right.
Mail carriers are mail carriers.
Anything more essential? Mm. Seriously, still, I don't care what anyone says. Mm-hmm. It's still. Look at all the online ordering we do. How are we going to get our stuff? I mean, seriously.
Well, and the importance of, people who live in rural areas that don't get service from other, like UPS and FedEx and Amazon. They don't deliver out to all these addresses. USPS does.
Yep. Especially when Amazon dumps all their packages on the post office and says, here you go.
We need to not forget that
that's
an important, vital service.
Absolutely.
For a lot of our seniors that require, like their medicines get delivered that way.
That's right.
Truck drivers.
Mm-hmm. Again, how do our goods and services
Seriously.
Get to us?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, and talking about, jobs that have gotten to the point where, they're desperate for people. Look at every truck that goes by. On the freeway, and they're like, we're hiring, we offer this, we offer all these things, every single one almost. It's like, wow.
It is a driving billboard. Why wouldn't you advertise on it?
True, but. Fair. But still, I don't remember seeing it as much as you do now, in the day when it was considered, whatever it was, considered. It's not the same now.
Yeah, my papa used to talk about as he was leaving the industry how there was this, they didn't want to let him go. Because they were there, even then, this
desperate
is like really late 70s, early 80s or something, but they were desperate for workers. Yeah.
Wow.
And they've been dealing with it since then, really.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to all of our mail carriers, our truck drivers, and every other industry that we mentioned here.
Yes.
Just one more to throw out there. Radio DJs.
Very self-serving, but yes.
Were they ever respected?
It's a good question. A few of them.
Yeah, there's a very small list.
Paul Harvey, maybe. I don't know.
There's a couple out there. Larry King, when he was doing
it. There we go. Larry King, maybe. There we go.
I say this in joking, but I also will say that go ahead and go through your dial and catch how many actual people are live on the air anymore.
Yeah.
Fair. It's very fair.
90-some% of your radio is done by voice tracking or people from not even in the area that you're listening to them.
Right.
Local radio is on a vine, and we here at Civic Media are looking to keep that alive
Yes, we
throughout
are.
Our whole market, throughout our whole state, and then some.
Yes.
And we here at WFHR and WIRI are at the, I think, at the forefront of that. And as stations that are older and established, that have a team that can get the job done, I think we are a good example of this.
I agree.
That not only that the radio is important, but radio is relevant and will be going forward.
Mm-hmm. It will always be relevant in some way, shape, or form. I agree.
And the reason that, you know, we have that here is because of our listeners.
Thank you, Melissa.
Yes, thank you. Thank
Got to throw that out there. Yeah.
Yeah. I really need this job, everybody. Please. Please.
Don't stop listening.
I don't have a very big skill set. I need to be able to do this. Please let radio still be relevant.
Oh, it was very self-serving. I thought, no.
It's incredibly. This whole article, this whole day was about, no. We'll be back with, we'll wrap up the show coming up. Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James going to take it to the top of the hour, get you ready for other great civic media programming. Want to touch on our schedule, some good stories of the day, and want to remind everybody that at noon tomorrow, you can have a new edition of the WFHR newsletter. Melissa, how's that going?
Oh, it's going great. I've got a couple of great interviews that I did that I'm working on articles for. I got to go visit a cranberry marsh.
Nice. Ooh, fun.
I love the end of the week. Mm. And I got so many great pictures. I can't wait to put this article together and get those in there. Glacier cranberries. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it right. Wait, hold on. I got it right here.
This just handed to me.
She's got it. It just handed to me.
Give me a minute.
Nicely done.
Glacial Lake cranberries.
There you go.
I want to say the name right. And they make a really awesome product. And with their Honestly cranberries, it's cranberries with nothing else.
Wow.
It's not craisins. It's dried cranberries.
Just dried cranberries.
Yeah. Mm. And I've never had cranberries like this before. You guys, they're light.
Nice.
It's like a feather in your hand.
Wow.
I'm a little jealous. I've been on a marsh in a long time. There's nothing like being on a cranberry marsh. I love
it's
being
so
on
cool. So pretty out there. I got a picture of swans with their six babies.
Oh, wow.
It's so cool.
Very cool. Very cool. Good to hear.
I can't wait. So I'm working on that, and I'm working on a couple other articles. And, of course, you know, Michael Colmer's working on our sports article for us. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we'll have a bunch of great, great local Wisconsin-based information on our newsletter that comes out at noon on Thursday. So sign up now so that you make sure to get it. If you're having any issues and it hasn't arrived in your inbox, reach out. I'll get you fixed up. I know how to do it now.
Oh,
I can add you directly to it.
Now she can fix it. Yeah.
I have the power.
Sign up for that newsletter at WFHR.com, and thank you to everybody who already has. Mm-hmm. Got a new edition of the Rapids Report lined up for you today. Be listening for that sometime in the afternoon. We'll have it on streaming for you at WFHR.com. In part one, we're going to hang out with Lance Plimo, Wood County Board Chairman. We'll also have our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media in. Looking forward to that.
Nice.
And in part two, our good friend Ann from the ODC will be with us. We'll see who else will be joining us as well from the ODC. We usually have a great group of people and love hanging out with the ODC. Mm-hmm. Great stuff on the radio dial tonight, sports-wise. Join us from 4 to 5 on 105.5 WIRI for Playmakers. We speak sport, and we speak it with you. Call up and join the conversation, 715-424-2600. Sports director Michael Colmer will be joining us today. We'll have Seth on Friday. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking certainly baseball. We'll be talking some of the football schedule coming out and some of the things coming out from the NFL and all that. Mm-hmm.
And all kinds of high school sports stuff, too. We kind of got our tentative broadcast schedule for IRI, too, that Mike put together. And it's going to, I'm so excited.
I'm going to see if I can talk Mike into maybe teasing and previewing a little of it.
Let's see.
We'll see.
I think you can do it. Maybe you can try.
We have that for you. And, of course, we'll have Rafter Baseball for you tonight on the dial, 620. Rafters are in Fond du Lac still. I got to catch some of the game yesterday. I need somebody to answer something for me.
Okay.
The Fond du Lac batters all seem to come up to the theme song from Green Acres. This confused me, and it was very distracting to me. And I need to know the answer to why. Did they get a deal on it? It's the weirdest walk-up music I've ever heard in my life. I don't understand what's going on.
Green Acres is the place for me.
I've had this weird...
living is a life for me.
I've had since then, I've had in my head either Ozzy Osbourne songs or Green Acres theme, like just a running earworm.
That's a weird combination, I gotta tell you. No wonder you're having mirage hallucinations.
Be sure to check us, catch Raptor Baseball all season long. Season's getting close to wrapping up, everybody. Get those games.
Yes, it is.
Seth, we know Wednesday means something else around here, too.
But before we get to that, I want to remind everyone, you've got about an hour left of the Wood County Veterans Expo over at the Crossview Church at 1000 East Riverview Expressway, number 120. Join the Toma VA Medical Center and the Wood County Veterans Service Office as they offer all kinds of interesting information on benefits for veterans and for their families and for current serving people. I mean, there's the list of people there is really too long to get into. But we do encourage you to get over there in that last hour as they wrap things up over there, everyone. If you're a veteran or a veteran family member, we do encourage you to do that because there's a lot of great information they're going to be offering. And then later tonight, it is Wednesday. That means it's time for...
Bingo.
Yes. The Three Stooges. Doors open at 5. That was completely unrehearsed, by the way. Yeah, I don't know if people know that. Yeah, doors open at 5. Bingo starts at 6:30. Of course, go head on over to the Elks Lodge, number 693, 430 West Jackson Street. Have some fun with Bingo. Support them for all the support they do. I do remember, I want to do a quick shout out to them. I was with my family last night. We were at Sweps volunteering there. And the whole infant center is provided by the Elks Lodge. I don't know if people know that.
Oh, wow.
So, like, all of the diapers and the wipes and all that stuff, they are the ones that provide all of that. So, that's just one of the things you're supporting when you do bingo there.
Our friends over at Helen's Zoo House have a lot of fun happening. In just minutes, they're going to be having Zoozort opening up over there. Noel Tarrant will be there. Head on over to 1911 Gaynor Avenue. Take in our Wisconsin Rapids Municipal Zoo and Helen's Zoo House. Say hi to all the great workers over there. And, of course, our friend Noel. And they'll have a show at 11. And at 1 today over at the zoo.
Very cool.
Be sure to check that out. And be sure to make plans this Saturday to be a part of the 5th annual Touch a Truck event. All vehicle types going to be down there. Kid games, foods, raffle, fun. This is a free event going on from 11 to 3 over at the Grand Rapids Lions Club. Thanks to our friends at the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. We don't have a ton of opportunities to be out in the public, to be able to raise awareness and funds. This is one of the bigger ones we have at the
Family
Center.
Very important, yes.
All hands on deck for our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center and our local domestic violence shelters out there that have had funding cut left and right.
Yes.
And that's been going on for years. Here's an opportunity for us to show we're on the right side of history. We support our family center and we're going to have some fun while we're at it too because all the cool trucks are going to be down there.
And that is fun.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. Be sure to check that out, everybody. And along with all of that, not only that, but you get to help build these bridges between our sheriff's department and police department and fire departments in our community and our kids. You never know what
public service groups.
Spark in a kid. You know, I wanted to be a fireman before all of this.
Yes.
Maybe
someday you will be, James.
Someday. See, I want to.
The dream is still alive.
It all started from, seeing a fire truck and being in one. You never know what might happen.
You never know.
We appreciate you, too. Great show, you guys.
You too, man.
You too, James.
Have a great day, everybody. Be good to each other.